5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's the situation, Captain?
This is Situation Fluxus, a weekly one-hour program focused on jazz and improvised music, news, radio, conversations, and more. Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Let us dig into the headlines. The Savannah Music Festival in Savannah, Georgia is go, March 24th through April 9th. Acts include bassist Christian McBride, vocalist D.D. Bridgewater, and pianists B.J. Iyer and Emmett Cohn. For more information, savannahmusicfestival.org. The Jacksonville Jazz Festival is scheduled for Memorial Day weekend, May 26th through the 29th in downtown Jacksonville, Florida. Some of the performers who will be there: pianist Herbie Hancock, guitarist George Benson, and vocalist Jasmia Horn. The festival begins May 26th with the Jacksonville Jazz Piano Competition at the Florida Theater. For more information, jacksonvillejazzfest.com. The 19th CGI Rochester International Jazz Festival returns to downtown Rochester, New York, June 17th through the 25th. Also, the Rochester International Jazz Foundation presents vocalist Catherine Russell on Tuesday, March 15th in the theater at Innovation Square. For more information, rochesterjazz.com. Vocalist Melissa Stigliano performs at the 55 Bar in New York City tonight, Thursday, March 17th, 6:30 p.m. And the drummer Dan Puga's Nonet performs on Monday, March 20th. For more information, 55 Bar, that's the number 55, bar.com. Tomorrow night, March 18th, at the Mosswood Sound Series in Oakland, California, On the Nature of Sound, music by Alvin Lucier. For more information, sfsound.org. The Jazz Institute of Chicago in Illinois presents Jazz City, celebrating women in jazz history, profiling pianist and bandleader Lil Hardin Armstrong tomorrow night, Friday, March 18th, broadcasting online from the Garfield Park Conservatory. For more information, jazzinchicago.org/Lewis. Also tomorrow night, Friday, March 18th, at the Ars Nova Workshop in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, presenting Trefoil, featuring trumpeter Ambrose Akin-Mosiri, pianist Chris Davis, and drummer Gerald Cleaver. And on Saturday, March 19th, trumpeter Jamie Branch's Fly or Die. For more information, arsnovaworkshop.org. Pianist Armin Danilian, bassist Jay Anderson, and drummer Dennis Mackerel perform at Hudson Hall at the historic Hudson Opera House in Hudson, New York, tomorrow, Friday, March 18th, and then on Saturday, March 19th, at Maureen's Jazz Cellar in Nyack, both nights playing selections from their new CD, Fresh Start, on Sunnyside Records. For more information, hudsonhall.org. The Bill Stewart Trio performs its two sets per night performances at the Village Vanguard in New York City through March 20th. Bill Stewart on drums, Walter Smith III on saxophone, and Larry Grenadier on bass. For more information, villagevanguard.com. On Sunday, March 20th, harpist Brandy Younger performs at The Falcon in Marlborough, New York. For more information, liveatthefalcon.com. Pianist Michael Weiss's trio will be at the Django in New York City on March 22nd. For more information, thedjangonyc.com. And now for new releases. Coming out tomorrow, Friday, March 18th, percussionist and sound artist Vasco Trilla's Acoustic Mask on 577. Pianist Josien Jacobo's self-produced Herencia Criolla and pianist Manuel Valera's Distencia on Greenleaf Music. Other new releases out now. Saxophonist Razin Vahadi and his trio's self-produced The Cure. In Real Time's Blue Shift on Line Art. And the compilation Mainstream Funk. Funk, Soul, Spiritual Jazz, 1971 to 1975 on We Want Sounds. All news items have been gathered from various media sources. For the latest updates, contact the source, venue, or business. Remember, I'm just the messenger. So, Marcelo, do you have a website?
No, I count on Annette's website.
It's on you. It's on you.
We have social media, but even that we don't have fashion.
Okay.
I only do the arrangements.
You got Instagram, Facebook.
My guests are clarinetist Anat Cohen and guitarist Marcelo Gonsalves. Their second release together, Reconvexo, came out last October on Anzic Records. So I want to thank you both for joining me here on Situation Fluxus.
Thank you, Cheryl. Great to be here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Your second release together, Reconvexo, came out last October on Anzic Records. How did you two find yourselves quarantined in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil at the time you conceived this release?
Rio de Janeiro is a place that I often go to, as I fell in love, and I still do love the music of Brazil. And the collaboration with Marcelo has been, we're friends for since 2000. We know each other for a long, long time. So since Outra Coisa, we are already collaborating since our first album. And during the pandemic, it was a great opportunity for us to explore some of being both of us in Brazil, explore some of Brazil's treasures, some songs from the greatest singer-songwriters that Brazil can offer. And I think that Marcelo has had a really put a beautiful vision in conceiving the songs and collecting the songs. It was all ideas that Marcelo conceived. He's going to tell you about it, and it was really a way for us to, you know, the songs, those poets, it's the lyric, although we're playing instrumentally, but the lyric of those songs, they portray a beautiful Brazil, the Brazil we want to look in the mirror and see. So, you know, they really, it's very moving, and it was definitely during the pandemic, there was the perfect time to reflect, to look for the beauty.
Yeah, it was a period with a lot of emotions in the air. So I think was really clear for us how music can really give us a ground. And music in general, the instruments, playing the instruments every day, our instrument every day, like it was really important at this moment. And those artists, the composers of the songs of the album, for Brazilians, they're really, really important people. Like not just the art that they did, but also every little speech they have, every phrase, they touch us in a really deep way. So in this quarantine time was even marred this way. So we and those some of those artists did live stream shows from home, like we saw concerts from the living room of Caetano Veloso, Milton Nascimento, Gilberto Gil. And it was really interesting because those songs that we know for a long time and was the songs are already important for us, but listening again in this period, in this quarantine period, it gets another subject. So and I always had the vision of Anat playing, like she's really well known as a super improviser and all that, which is true. But I think that there's something about her that actually Diane Reeves just said that to her. Oh, you play like a singer. And I said, oh, you see? Because I think she has a way to interpret melodies that really, it's different. It's really special. So since this, so my idea for this project was because these songs, they are beautiful for the melodies, for the harmony, but also for the lyrics, for the message of the lyrics. So the idea was to invite Anat to this environment and see how she would say this message through her clarinet. So that was the main idea of the project.
I have questions about two tunes. The first one, Correnteza by Antonio Carlos Jobim and Luis Bonfa. It's beautiful, made richer in sound with the overlaying of clarinet and bass clarinet. Would you explain your decision to do that?
Marcelo can talk about the actual song, A Correnteza, Correnteza by Jobim and Luis Bonfa. But, you know, the idea of you know, being a musician during the pandemic, moving all your office, your performance space, your practice space, your educational space, your everything is like in one, you become all in one. So we as musicians, we also learn to record ourselves and to everybody had to learn to use videos and to, you know, up our game with technology. So usually when we record, until now, we basically play the songs in the studio the way we would perform them. I play my clarinet, Marcelo plays his 7-string guitar, his beautiful 7-string guitar, and we try to convey the live, the same version of we would play live. But the advantage of recording at home and having a home studio is that you have more time to experiment, and we do know that during the pandemic we had a little extra time to experiment. So we managed to say, okay, let's play the song like we play it live, but we can add some layers, because when you think about the music of Jobim, there's always like beautiful orchestrations, there's strings, there's sounds, there's vocals, there's so much depth inside the music. So we said, let's try and get inspired by the original arrangement and then add some layers. And so that's why we have some extra clarinets there.
Yeah, exactly. And I could add that I love the low sounds. I play 7-string guitar. 7-string guitar is a regular 6-string with an extra bass string. So I love the lower sounds. And I love when Anat does that on the clarinet. She also plays the lower sounds of the clarinet. And with the bass clarinet that we add in two tracks, actually, the Correnteza and the title track, Reconvexo. But especially on Correnteza, she really explored those low sounds that Tom Jobim originally, in the original arrangement, there is always, in Jobim's arrangement, there's always these lower sounds there and in a really special way. So we decided to do that in Correnteza, and I love 7-string guitar with the clarinet. I know this. I love the sound, and bass clarinets. I love the sound. I love the, also the way Annette plays it.
And the other tune I had a question about was Never Dreamed You'd Leave in Summer by Stevie Wonder and Sarita Wright. To include this American popular song in a release of Brazilian popular songs, why?
Well, it's there is the subject of the Brazilian songwriters, but there's also the subject of the period itself. So all the tracks, this is a quarantine album. So there's two exceptions for the Brazilian songwriters' idea, which is the Stevie Wonder song and Venezuelan waltz. So we decided to include because it was recorded on the same period. So the same thing we had with all these songs that being moved, listening to it during this period and all that. But also, I think Stevie Wonder has a lot of, he's really related to Brazilian music in a lot of ways. And I think the harmony of some of the harmonies of his song it's really related to the MPB, Brazilian musical, popular music. And I mean, he's always in touch with a lot of these artists, especially Gilberto Gil. So for us Brazilians, I think Stevie Wonder, we are really, we feel him kind of really close to us. And when we listened to this song, specifically this song during this period, we came out with an idea of playing the song in a different way. I think it's really different that the way that Stevie Wonder recorded it. And the way we play, I think it's related to the rest of the album. So for us, it made sense.
The 2017 Grammy-nominated release Outra Coisa, the music of Monsieur Santos, Marcelos. You scored some of his compositions for your seven-string guitar and Annette's clarinet. As a clarinetist himself, did you find a clarinet repertoire that guided you in writing for Annette?
Yeah, actually, I started approaching Moacir Santos' music through the guitar. One of the first Brazilian guitar albums that I've heard in my life was a Baden Powell album called Baden Powell Swings with Jim Pratt. And in this album, he recorded two Moacir Santos tunes, Coisa, number one, Coisa, number two. And Baden Powell, which is a great guitar player in Brazil that influenced everybody here. He was a student of Moacir Santos. So some of his tunes were actually exercise that he did during classes, and then it became songs. So Moacir Santos was always like also related to the Brazilian guitar. But after that, after Baden Powell recorded those two songs, I don't know any other guitar player that really went and made a project about Moacir Santos on the guitar, like transposing his songs to the guitar. And even myself, when I was getting more in touch with the Moacir Santos albums, like the original arrangements, I could not really figure out how my guitar could fit there. So in 2015, I was reading the songbook, like not listening to the album, but reading to the score. And I was in shock because it fit perfectly to the seven string guitar. It was like if he wrote to the instrument. So I normally, when you do arrangements for a guitar for music that was written to other instruments, the first thing you do is change the key to fit on the guitar. But I didn't even change keys, and it's the original keys. And so I said, well, there's something there. And well, I always had the dream of recording an album with a Nat duo. And when I discovered this treasure of Moacir Santos, I said, if it sounds so good on the guitar, I cannot imagine on the clarinet, because Moacir Santos, he played guitar also, but his first instrument was the clarinet. So I just realized that it could really work. But to really write to the clarinet, and not to the clarinet, but to a nat, I don't really do anything special, really, because I know she will she will play like much better than I could, and with better ideas than I could give to her about the instrument itself. You know, I give musical ideas, of course, but for the instruments, I don't. I concentrate on the guitar. That's it's hard enough work.
To add on to that, did you actually find any clarinet repertoire?
No, it's not really written for the clarinet, Moacir Santos tunes. It's written for like big band styles, the style. And I don't think that there's something that's on the score. It says, that's for a clarinet solo. I know.
Okay.
I think
it's for wind instruments. It's a wind instruments type of writing. But I don't think it's specifically for the clarinet.
Okay. I think that those songs, a lot of the songs that Marcelo is referring to, those are songs, I mean, they became known, played by a big band. And when Moacir Santos released his album in 1965 called Coisas, Coisa mean thing. And when the album came out, Coisas, at the time, it was such a revolutionary sound, because this album had like the big band sound. We know as the American, part of the American culture, the sound of a big band, but it wasn't as common in Brazil. But it had all the Brazilian, the Afro-Brazilian elements and the rhythms that Moacir comes from the north of Brazil, from Pernambuco, and he combined his roots with the sound of a big band. And it was really revolutionary at the time, and people were really blown away by this music. Mm. And so his music, Moacir Santos, is associated a lot with big band, with large ensembles. So what Marcelo did, the amazing thing for me is that Marcelo took all the parts of the big band and reduced it to his seven string guitar. So he's playing the parts of the bass line, the drummer, the trombone, the trumpet, the saxophones, and I get to float with the melody and have a whole big band accompanying me with just one seven string guitar player, which is Marcelo, which is an incredible feeling because it's grooving and it's full of counterpoint and counter and responses to what I do, and it just feels like I'm playing with an orchestra. Marcelo is a one-man orchestra with some guitar.
You both have an upcoming performance during Annette's turn as the SF Jazz Resident Artistic Director, March 23rd through the 27th. Annette, you're also leading your tentet and your latest project called Quartetinho.
Very nice, very close, Quartetinho. It's like a Brazilian H O is like yo, so it's like Quartetinho.
Ugh, I'm terrible. I know my accent.
It's confusing. I should have chosen an easiest name, but get everybody work a little bit.
Well, with this group, you borrowed some people from your own tentet to form
it.
This seems like the perfect platform to showcase your work for this residency. What did SF Jazz ask you to do, to put together?
Well, the idea was to put some of my work together. Choose, you know, I like to do a lot of different things, so I get to choose, you know, from different projects. I have collaborations with different people, but I chose the most current project, and of course current. I mean, that was a pre-pandemic when this was all planned, so this has been moved already twice from 2020, but it's still current because we are just continuing. So I get to play with Marcelo, and I'm happy that we have even a new album since this was scheduled. So we have Reconvex, a new album, and then I get to play two nights with the tentet, and my tentet is an ensemble that I love so much, and we had the new album that came out we were nominated for a Grammy in January 2020. We flew to Los Angeles for the ceremony, and ooh, we had all these like shows and tours lined up, and of course none of that happened. So basically since then, this is the next nice opportunity we have to play two nights together. We did just a couple of shows since then, so I, you know, it's great to be able to bring the band together and come back to San Francisco. And Quartetinho is a smaller, Inho is the making something small in Portuguese. So you will be Sherilinha and Marcel will be Marcelinho. So it makes something like a little nickname. So I thought of like having a quartet that is part of the tentet. So it's like little quartet. Although it's not quite little because every person in the band plays at least two instruments. So it makes us an octet, really. But we have Vito Gonçalves on piano and accordion, and James Shipp on percussion and vibraphone, and Tal Mashiach on bass and guitar, seven string guitar. And I play clarinet and bass clarinet. And we are basically exploring the repertoire, some original music. Of course, we can never not play Brazilian music, so there's some songs from Brazil, some open, some experimental, electronic. So it's this band. We debuted our concert on March 7th, 2020, in New York City, and we were just about to launch the new band, but then we had to wait a couple of years. So we're resuming now and trying to figure out which direction, because everybody's changed a little bit during the pandemic, so we are recalibrating.
I had the opportunity to watch your 2020 NPR Tiny Desk performance. I heard and witnessed the simpatico relationship between you two. As we come to the close of this interview, I have one last question for both of you. After 20 plus years collaborating, what still surprises you about each other's playing and energy?
I think there's always a surprise because there's between the extreme of fire and the delicacy, because we have such a wide range. So the range of playing, you know, it's always, you can push it more. So it's always like, it's incredible to me. And for me, it's like, I love it because Marcelo always surprises me with ideas for songs that I maybe would not imagine to play. And he has, oh, I have an idea. And we're going to explore it at SF Jazz. We're gonna play a couple of things that are not on any of our albums that were made especially for this show. And they have to do with the Americana. And I love it that Marcelo is always comes up with the idea. So repertoire ideas, he surprises me constantly.
Well, recently I read in the newspaper in Brazil an interview with Vicky Muniz, which is a great Brazilian plastic artist. And he said something that I really enjoyed. He says, I don't have the painter's spontaneity. I'm a conceptual artist. I think, and then I do. And well, that's the way I work. I think, and then I do. So what surprised me with an art is exactly this spontaneity that she has. Like on our first album, I spent 1 year working on the arrangements and with the guitar playing and all that. And she recorded on first sight reading. It was like that. And so it's every time it is surprising for me.
I got emotional now.
For more information, AnatCohen.com. And now for some music. Los Angeles, California guitarist Dan Petty from his 2021 self-released Two Guitars. We heard the guitarist Mike Stern's tune, Chromazone. Dan has composed and produced extensively for television, as well as co-writing all the songs for the five seasons of the Peabody Award-winning show, Doc McStuffins, as well as songs and themes for the shows DC Superhero Girls, Vampirina, Muppet Babies, Tots, to name a few. Dan's accompanied by bassist Tim LaFave. You're listening to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Please send your comments, quips, and anecdotes, as well as feedback to thejazzdisturbance@gmail.com, info@wgxc.org, feedback@wgxc.org, or leave a 3-minute message at area code 518-291-WGXC. Our website is wgxc.org.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm just watching, you know, about 5 or 6 inches of snow accumulate on my front lawn.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, no. Oh yeah. I'm in upstate New York. And I mean, a few days ago it was, no, I'm sorry. It was yesterday. It was in the 50s.
Mm-mm. Yeah. I mean, I know up in Toronto, it's kind of crazy. And even where I am right now, I'm in Dallas and the weather's been super up and down.
Yeah. I mean, it's either we're talking about the weather or our waistlines, you know. mean, you know, it's all.
There's so many things.
Oh, so many things. My interview is with Canadian award-winning drummer, composer, producer, and educator Larnell Lewis. Among the many honors he's received, in 2017, the Award for Emerging Jazz Artist from the Ontario Arts Foundation, and in 2019, nominated for a Juno Award for Jazz Album of the Year, Solo, on his debut release, In the Moment. His latest release is 2020's Relive the Moment. Well, thank you so much for joining me here on Situation Fluxus.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I viewed a few of your videos and I was taken by the fluidity in your movement. Your muscularity doesn't seem to inhibit your range of motion to each piece of equipment. Like a dancer, do you practice those moves not just for the camera, but for the sake of the music and translating your movements into the sound of what you're playing?
That's a great question. Definitely, if you think about something that feels good or feels easy and is easy flowing, there is a visual aspect to it because there is freedom in the movement. And so, yes, the visual side of it is an indicator for me, but I'm actually practicing to make sure that I don't injure myself. That's a really big thing. And so, you know, grab a pair of sticks here. So if I'm playing and I'm going around the drum kit, if I'm stiff like this, and I'm playing, right? Mm-hmm. Automatically, anything that I do, I'm absorbing shock, and it also looks really rigid. And I'm also, because these are strikers, I'm not getting the resonance out of the drums. So they all go hand in hand.
Wow. Okay. You have an acoustic drum kit and an electric drum kit. In reading up on electric drums, there's a lot to consider, from noise level to sound modules to training software. When and why did you purchase one?
So the first time I got an electronic drum kit, I purchased it because there were a lot of options when it came to recording drums from home. I didn't have a lot of microphones. I didn't have a great audio setup. So it gave me an opportunity to record MIDI, which is just the actual performance of me playing. And then you could just attach any samples or any sounds to each of the hits that I play on the pads. I could also very easily edit anything that was necessary. So it was kind of a necessity with the group of people that I was working with. Mm-hmm. It was also great because I was living in a house, a semi-detached, and needed to be able to practice comfortably as well.
And not bother the neighbors.
Not bother the neighbors, but I mean, they were bothered by anything and everything. I mean, that's another story for another time. I mean, if you're watching, all right. Oh man, but yeah, that was the main thing. It was just, you know, people to practice quietly, have the opportunity to record and do a lot of production work as well, and get into just all the limitless options that were available with electronic drums. I mean, there are so many commercials and movies and you know, top level albums that you probably wouldn't even know were recorded with electronic drums.
I had no idea until I really started reading into it and reading into the drum kit of Neil Peart.
Yes.
Wow. Yes. And he used an electric drum kit along with his acoustic drum kit on stage. So have you used an electric drum kit on stage?
I have used electronics and acoustic as a part of my main setup. It's what you call a hybrid drum kit. So you're marrying the acoustic and the electronic. And the beauty for it for me is that I can still keep the sticks in my hand, but again, open up my options with sounds. So if I want to do a pass around the drums, but I feel like I need, you know, something that sounds like, you know, the African dunduns, or something that sounds like a djembe, or something that's just like a wind chime, you know, I can access that sound without actually having to put my sticks down and, you know, play whatever instrument that is. And right. I think that was a really cool thing for Neil Peart as well. You know, seeing him go around the kit with Rush, maybe hop around here and get all these sounds from the kit again without letting go of the sticks. It's a very familiar feeling, and you could stay in your flow of thought. So it's, you know, necessary for me. Oh.
Professor of music at Humber College in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Mm-hmm. In looking overall at the first year students that you've had, what group outside of the drummers have had a better understanding of rhythm and beat? The brass players, the woodwind players, or the string players?
Ooh, brass, woodwind, or string the first year? So that's a really, that's a challenging question to answer, because I mean, I would say my answer would be the string players. And the reason why the string players is because, you know, they have to be concerned with the attack of their instrument, like whether it's like they're playing with a pick or they're playing fingerstyle, if it's bass, they have note length and they're within the rhythm section. So immediately they're tied to, you know, the effect that the drums also have on the band. In fact, the bass actually does guide the time in a band. Yes, the drummer holds the time, but the bassist really makes that happen. So I'd say strings, specifically bass, but you also have your, you know, individuals who may also have experience with other instruments, but use that to inform their rhythm and rhythmic accuracy, even if they play a woodwind or if they play a brass instrument.
Mm-hmm. I started out as a string player and I've always had a strong sense of rhythm. I mean, I came up with the Suzuki method for strings, but I also had an incredible music program when I was a kid, and rhythm was just a part of singing and a part of playing. So I think you're right. We string players are the bomb.
Absolutely. You all hold it together, for sure. Make it easier for me to go crazy on the drums anyway.
Currently, you appear with two other Canadians on a Modica Music Records release. Pianist Adrian Ferrugia.
Ferrugia, yeah.
And bassist Roberto Acciapinti on Acciapinti's release, The Next Step. Besides this release, what other projects have you been working on or through for the last 2 years during COVID-19?
Well, I'll first say that it was amazing working with, you know, Adrian Ferrugia and Roberto Acciapinti on that project. And Roberto is a mentor of mine. You know, I've known him since I was in my late teens on the scene, being one of those young lions, you know, getting in there and just like swinging with the best of them. And, you know, to this day, he's still been available to me for anything, whether music or life, just to talk. So I'm so appreciative for that. As far as projects during this time that we're in, my wife is a steel pan player, and we've actually been doing a lot more music together than we normally would. We have two young kids as well, 4.5, 2.5. And we try to include them in as much of our music making as possible. But outside of the projects that we're doing together, I'm also a part of a band called Snarky Puppy. And so I'm in Dallas currently. We just wrapped up recording our live record, which has been an amazing experience. So that is, I'm going to include that in one of the things that I've been doing the last couple of years. Sweet. And writing, of course. Yeah.
Your debut release, In the Moment, came out in 2017, and your second release, Relive the Moment, is from 2020. Mm-hmm. When's the next one? We're waiting.
So I'm pushing right now, definitely writing, lots of composing. I get that question constantly. But, you know, this upcoming record is going to be out next year in the winter. We're looking for March 2023, and I'm currently recording and writing and just pulling musicians together, asking whoever I can, and just pulling and assembling the dream team of artists and musicians to really get this vision out.
As we come to the close of this interview, I'm going to give you the last word. Is there something I did not ask you? Is there something you'd like to let us know about besides the projects that you just mentioned? Is there something upcoming, local gig in Toronto?
Yeah. So I have the album release concert with Roberto Acciapinti's trio coming up on March 23rd, okay, which is going to be amazing. My birthday is March 22nd.
And mine is March 21st.
Hey, well, happy early birthday to you too. Yeah. Anything else I'd like to say? I mean, my wife and I were also doing, that's what, something I should have mentioned. We are doing a tour together this summer. We are playing at we're working on the Toronto Jazz Fest. We're going to be at Montreal Jazz Fest. We're going to be at Ronnie Scott's in London. We're going to be at Bird in Amsterdam. We're going to be at the Jazz Ahead conference in Bremen, Germany. We're working on some US dates right now, and we are just going as many places. She's releasing her album called Girl in the Yard, and it is one of the greatest pieces of work that she's done, you know, not only with her steel panic composition, but including string quartet work. There's some singing on there, and the music is about stories of for women that have actually elevated her and just helping her to tell those stories for people who have not had the opportunity to be heard. You know, please check out my albums and projects that I'm on. You can find me at larnellewismusic.com. I'm Larnell Lewis Music across all social media platforms. I most appear on Instagram, and look out for TikTok. And of course, I always like to leave a positive message with people, which is just to learn to love your light. Learn to love your light. Learn to know what that is, understand what that is, and become comfortable with letting it shine.
For more information, larnellewismusic.com. Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. I've been your host, Cheryl Kay. Tune in next Thursday at 10 a.m. for another show. I also host the Jazz Disturbance on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of each month from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. To contact us about Situation Fluxus, thejazzdisturbance@gmail.com or info@wgxc.org. We appreciate your feedback. Feedback@wgxc.org or leave a 3-minute message at area code 518-291-WGXC. Thank you. We'll be right back.
preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.